You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
Thursday, 25 November. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, chatting with Derek Janser from Rensburg, Lewis and Soho Sun Hotel Resort side. I think two different sides of a coin in many sense. Chatting with Arrowhead Properties CIO on results that came out yesterday. And then Bowman's Head of Banking Financial Services Regulatory, talking the ban of crypto assets in pension funds. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Some morning headlines from MoneyWeb. Sanral's 7 billion rand BRICS bank loan stopped by National Treasury. Part of the concerns was low e-toll collection rates. And from Business Day, Ethos and Arc in a 1.5 billion fintech buyout. They're buying Patrice Motsepe's Arc and, of course, Ethos Private Equity that they listed. And Empower Investment Vehicle buying fintech platform CrossFin. Morning markets, US was green, S&P up 0.5%, NASDAQ a little behind. Both closed today for Thanksgiving, and it'll be a half-day trading tomorrow. Asia's green, Sydney a handful of points higher as Tokyo trades up almost 0.75% up. Commodities green overnight, but they've been under pressure the last couple of days. Gold, 1,795. Brent, 82.36 a barrel. Palladium, 1,882. Rand, 15.88 against the dollar. And top 40 opening call, about 430 points to the green. That's almost 0.75% as Tencent trades up 1.9% in Hong Kong.
MoneyWeb Now. On the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Derek Janser from Rensburg, a portfolio manager at Anchor Capital. Derek, appreciate the early morning time. We're in results season, bunches coming out. I got to say, I thought those Lewis results yesterday were strong, and not surprisingly so, in that we have seen it, the results 6 months ago, a year ago. The market liked them. Great looking dividends. I mean, they really are rocking the pandemic, I suppose we could say.
Yeah, absolutely, Simon. Morning. Thank you. I think, you know, if you just look at kind of the top line numbers, you know, revenue increased by about 12%. So that's about 3.5 billion rand. But interestingly, just on that little incremental increase in revenue, you sort of filter down and drop down to call it a headline earnings per share level of around 39.7% or 3.30 rand. So that just gives you an idea of some of the leverage that's been put in place in a lot of these retailers and probably your sort of lower LSM group type retailers, where there's been such a strong focus on cutting costs and streamlining these businesses that when you do get some incremental uptick in terms of top line numbers, it filters down into quite decent margin expansion, you know, gross profit margin sitting at about 40%. So I think all in all, it was a really good, stellar result out of Lewis, well received by the market. And this has always been typically a dividend payer. So, yeah. You know, sitting on an attractive yield, you've got an interim dividend, obviously a low base effect that's in place here, but an interim dividend increasing by 46%. So long and short, I think it was a good result. Well-managed business through a very difficult period. So hopefully they can build on this as we move into the next 6 months and you see that consumer spend come through over this Christmas period or that pent-up demand that we've spoken about time to time on the show.
Yeah, and you mentioned that dividend, 195, which at interim stage was the same as the final dividend, which was also at 195. The other side of the coin, Soho Sun Hotels, this is their hotels as opposed to their gaming, still tough. They make the point that occupancies are half of what they were pre-pandemic. Mm. They're in a better space, but they're not profitable, and it is still hard out there.
Yeah, look, agreed. I think that anything to do with the sort of leisure tourism type space is certainly having a lagged effect in terms of recovery at the moment. I think there was even mention in the numbers there that the hindrance to traveling has sort of deterred travelers. You know, the COVID tests, the sort of regulation that it takes, the you know, the hurdles to cross in terms of traveling have just become that much harder. So, you know, people tend to deter from it until it starts to settle down a little bit more. But personally, I think, you know, if you look at this leisure space and this hotel space, to me, I'm actually starting to raise an eyebrow. I mean, I think that you're obviously in a very sort of dire position, sitting at 50% occupancy, but similar to those retailers through the pandemic who have kind of rejigged their balance sheets. I think these businesses have now really cut costs to the bone, mm-hmm, and there's some proper leverage in them. And it kind of takes, you know, one or two people to kind of look around the corner and say, well, where do they go over the next 6, 12, or even 18 months? And even if you look at a City Lodge, or whether it's a Soho Sun Hotels, or even things, call it in the casino and gaming space, whether it's a Sun International or a Soho Sun Gaming, my sense is that you're actually getting quite decent prices in the market at the moment. Sure, you'll need to sit it out for 6 or 12 months, and you need that earnings profile to come through. But I think there's leverage in these businesses at these prices. And, you know, you're obviously going to throw the dice on it a little bit, and it's going to be a little bit volatile, and it's going to be a sort of patient wait-and-see game. But I think there's some opportunity here, to be honest.
Yeah, and I take your point. If they get back to where they were in terms of occupancy pre-pandemic, they're going to be a lot more profitable because these businesses have come out looking a lot better. Derek Jansen van Rensburg, Portfolio Manager at Anchor Capital, appreciate the early morning. And that's our poll today on our LinkedIn and Twitter profiles. The results, the occupancies, still under pressure. But we've got holiday season coming up, and of course, new COVID cases rising. Are you planning on staying at a hotel over the holidays? Perhaps you are, perhaps you're going to stay with friends, or maybe it's holidaying at home.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now. On the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Alan Kirkel. He's Chief Investment Officer at Arrowhead. Results out for year-end September. 4.1% increase in dividend for the A shares. B shares saw a 44.6% increase. Assets disposed just over R1 billion. Gearing reduced to 36.9%. And a lot of investment into solar power. Vacancies now down at 8.4%. Alan, appreciate the early morning. Your disposals at just over R1 billion, and this is a disposal program which actually predates the pandemic. Are you finished with the disposal? A little bit still more to go?
Yeah, thanks, Simon. A good question. So we've sold about R3 billion worth of property, and it's about 137 buildings to date. And like you say, we started this well in advance in 2018, selling these assets, and we sold predominantly weak assets in nodes that were starting to show signs of underperformance. So we wanted to exit certain areas, and very fortunately we did. We sold many assets in CBDs, office in particular, across the country. And then over time, it just really accumulated to that vast amount of assets, and it's helped us reduce our debt substantially. It's given us the ability to ride out the storm, also to be quite contra to the market and spend on our properties. So we've our assets are in great shape now. So the question is really, do we need to sell anymore? We don't. We're actually in great shape now. So we've never looked better.
Yeah, and certainly in your results presentation, you talk through a number of the buildings which you have effectively upgraded one way or another. You mentioned office there. It's about a third of your portfolio. In the presentation yesterday, you're talking around that shift in perception. A year ago, there was a sense that we're never going back to the office. Ever again, office buildings are over. But the reality on the ground is kind of it's evolving, and people are coming back into the office.
Yeah, it's very true that there was a point where, you know, the theme was all about tech and being remote working. But at the end of the day, you need to have a culture driven a business. And the, futuristically, you can see companies need that culture embedded and that collaboration between your staff and how you want to drive your business forward. So do it remotely, you know, using freelancers and some form of a cold-blooded approach, is that you're not growing a business, and having offices is actually a privilege. Being able to come into an office, particularly in South Africa where there's load shedding at the moment, mm-hmm. you've got generators, in winter you've got heaters going, you've got coffee at, you know, nonstop, and you've got friendship and that kind of collaboration you can't get anywhere. So I think right now it's suited people, especially when they, you know, had tough times. You know, being a privilege having office, guys have been able to reduce a bit of space and then they can scale up again. So our model's been to assist in that. So we've got different products in our portfolio that are very well priced. They provide value. They're not P grade, but mm-hmm. when you walk in, they feel P grade. They're in great nodes in Rosebank and Harton, and Sanson and the likes. And they're very affordable, and we give you that flexibility.
Yeah, and you're hitting the 3 points. My days when I worked in an office, it was coffee, friends, and power. It was less about the bosses, but I hear what you say there. Yeah. You mentioned the P grade, and when you walk in, it's not, but it feels like it, and the sort of upgrading of buildings that you've got. And you talk in your presentation yesterday around the retaining tenants, being flexible, almost in a sense an evolution of that, the relationship between the landlord and the tenant, and very much engaging them and making a better experience. And that's not always going to be about price necessarily.
Yeah, it's so true. So what we did was we embarked on a tenant centricity is like the sort of long word, but yeah. A tenant centric approach is that historically a landlord would think that their shareholders were the customer. Mm-hmm. And what we did was we went through a whole sort of culture shift and training through the whole organization that your customer is your tenant and you have to look after them in any which way that you can. So We set up relationship managers. We've got deals teams, and we created this hybrid approach that we used to externalize our property management, and there was no connection between the landlord and the tenants. And we bridged that gap, and they're freely available to talk to us and engage, and we give them whatever we can to assist them through this. So we've actually our tenant retention is 88%, which is much higher than it ever was. In 2018, it was about 69%. Wow. So instead of having to replace tenants, you know, replacing tenants is very costly and to find them is also difficult. So we've managed to retain our tenants and it's really held us in good stead and they can feel it. And they also start to refer us people. So there's this, it's a great sort of chain effect of, you know, that we help each other.
Yeah, I hear you on that. And the other point was collections at 96%. It can edge a bit higher, but I mean, you know, well up from the 86 all in all, looking strong and solid. We'll leave that there. Alan Kirkel, CIO at Arrowhead. Appreciate the early morning.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with David Gerald, Bowman's Head of Banking and Financial Services. David, appreciate the early morning time. A note you that came into my inbox, I think it was just late last week, around National Treasury's proposed ban on retirement fund investing into crypto assets. And crypto assets is a fairly broad category. My thought was it was a little short-sighted. You seem to agree with it. And the notes, you say you have some concerns, questions. Your key concerns around this proposed ban for retirement funds.
Yes, hello, Simon. Thank you for the time. I think similarly to you, the concern is that it seems a bit heavy-handed and a little bit less nuanced than we expected the regulations to be when they started coming out in light of the position that Treasury announced earlier on in the year.
And we're in a situation as well. I mean, you know, crypto assets are a new sort of asset class there. And we do see, I mean, it's more than just our regulators. I suspect it's much broader around the world, where regulators almost seem to be a little bit behind the curve, perhaps, on it. Or am I being perhaps overly harsh on them?
I think that the issue really comes down to how crypto assets are defined. I think part of the problem is there is a lot of, there's little knowledge, mm-hmm. I think. But there has been quite a lot of development in a number of regulated jurisdictions and countries with whom South African regulators have had interaction. You know, there's a difference between payment tokens, for example, and securities tokens. We're not just talking specifically about what maybe many of the public would recognize as cryptocurrencies and highly investments. And I think it's an area of development, and it's an area in which, you know, financial inclusion can be developed, where young entrepreneurial ventures can develop products for the world. And I think this ban effectively puts a cap or stifles opportunities there as much as it protects the public against speculative investment.
I take your point. There's two sides to it. The one is, you know, me as someone with a pension fund, I'm losing out. But the other side is, of course, you know, the flow of cash into an industry. I mean, I think of infrastructure, the ability for pension funds to invest into an infrastructure helps that sector.
Yeah, and interestingly, it's the same draft regulatory amendment that deals with the expansion of the infrastructure capabilities for pension funds. Also contains in the same document this crypto asset ban. So there is an irony there for sure.
Do you have a sense? I mean, this is a proposed; it isn't yet law. Is there still sort of a negotiation, or is that door closed and it's proposed, but it will come in as law in time?
I don't have a very clear sense. The comments were invited on this draft by the 16th of November. Mm-hmm. So comments officially closed. But the Intergovernmental FinTech Working Group, which is the sort of the hub of a number of regulators, which then inform how specific regulators should move forward, they have been engaging quite actively with industry for a couple of years. But I think this came a bit out of the blue, this particular ban. So there's probably a good chance it will be proceeded with. The question then is whether anybody decides that it ought to be challenged, because I think there are some lawfulness issues around banning an investment class altogether.
Okay, I get you on that. I hadn't actually thought. Actually, you know, in a sense, it's restricting my, or rather, the trustees of the pension fund's ability to kind of invest where they think the money is best invested. We'll leave it there. David Jerrell, head of banking and financial services regulatory at Bowmans. Appreciate the early morning time. That's it for today. Our poll we were asking you yesterday, we've been chatting with PPC, and they've been a huge run, a 10-bagger in the last year. And I remember sort of a year ago, and I remember chatting with the new CEO, and the sense was, if they needed the rights issue, and it was potentially a giant rights issue, the stock was under serious pressure. But if they could escape it, there was huge upside. Way more upside than I thought. It was a 10-bagger in a year. The question we said, do you think there is more upside coming? 40% of you said, yep, you do. I'm in that group, although not another 10-bagger. I don't see this being a 50 Rand share, but I think certainly, you know, as they sort of get some price increases pushed through and better efficiencies. A quarter of you are nope, taking the money and run. And a third of you are saying, yeah, we need that infrastructure spend to start arriving. And that's a good point. And that's significant. That's definitely going to benefit the industry. Have your vote, have your say on our LinkedIn and Twitter profiles. This show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. Podcast available just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nabokhle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning contributions. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.